Morning, everyone. And it's great to add my welcome just to what Tracy said earlier. It's great to see you here. We're pretty packed down below. But let's bow our heads and pray together and ask God to help us to understand his word. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading that Hannah just brought to us. We pray that you would help us to understand the place that your word, all the New Testament, has in our lives, and help us to look to Jesus and to trust in him, because your word tells us of your goodness and all that you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As Levi reminded us earlier, great to see him again, he told us that we've been looking at the Old Testament. And I want to do a bit more than what he did in terms of a refresher on what the Old Testament tells us today, and prepare in many ways for where we're going to pick things up again in September time. There will be lots of different things for the children throughout the summer months, but we're going to start a new series in the New Testament in September. Two main points about the Old Testament. These are not particularly clever points. One, it is old. You knew that. That is true. See, I'm only going to do that a couple of times. So if you could be on message, that's good. This is true. Excellent. It is a fact. It's old. Some of the oldest stories in the Old Testament are very ancient indeed, from thousands and thousands of years ago. But as I say that it's the Old Testament, it's not out of date, still relevant to us today. Shouldn't be just set aside or discarded because there's a New Testament that follows it. The Old Testament has lots to teach us. Second thing about the Old Testament is, maybe you've guessed, it is a testament. So as it says on the screen there, you might wonder what a testament is. Well, I don't want to get all dictionary definition-ish, but here's a dictionary definition. Just come up on the screen. A testament is something that serves as tangible proof or evidence. The message of the Old Testament is to serve as evidence to us so that we have grounds on which to believe in God. It tells us who God is and invites us to put our belief in him. It's a book given to us by God which tells us about him, tells us how he wants to deal with people, and how he wants to be part of our lives. Now, back whenever we started this series, back last September, we pointed out the Old Testament is not just a single book. It's made up of lots of different books. Do any of the boys and girls remember how many books there are in the Old Testament? Yes, over here. 66 in the whole Bible. You're adding in the next bit. So if we take the New Testament, yes? There's 39 books in the Old Testament. But they're not just different books, they're all different kinds of books. Now, the Hebrew people, Bible people who would have been looking at the Old Testament, would have had a concept of the Bible being three things: the books of the law, the writings, and the prophets. But I want to illustrate that all of these different aspects are in the Old Testament for us to understand. Not just the wonderful stories that we've heard, stories like, as Levi reminded us, King Josiah, or Samuel, or Nehemiah, or Esther, or any of those stories that we focused on, but lots of different kinds of books. So I need a few of these strong men here from the front. There's five strong boys just standing here. Let's come on up, guys, and you can help me as I try to show you some of the different kinds of books that there are in the Bible. So I've raided the shelves at home, and here's a few of the different things that we find in the Bible. There are stories of people. There's Brian O'Driscoll's biography. There's some histories in there. There's a history of Ulster. There's a recipe for a healthy life. Have a Ballymaloe cookery course. I've never looked at it. Things about how we worship God. Have a couple of hymn books and prayer books and things. Directions in life. That's a very big book. I know that, Ben. There you go, good man. I have an atlas. I'm getting near the bottom of the book. How we care for creation. Fancy garden plants and flowers. How we build a healthy life in a different aspect. The big book of weekend woodworking. Haven't read that either. And then a few books down at the bottom, which we'll come back to in just a moment. Now, there's a book coming up on the... You just stay there, guys. You're doing a good job. A book coming up on the screen. A sort of orange one. Yes, let me tell you about this book. I bought this book. It was published about 2002. It says on the front of it, it's recommended by the Financial Times. It's supposed to be a brilliant book. I began to read it the next year, and it was superb. Very, very interesting. It's about the dot-com revolution in the 90s. And I got to about page 126, and the book stopped. And I bought it in a bargain bookshop, and it's put me off buying books in bargain bookshops because the rest wasn't there. So I don't know how it ended. It just stopped. And one of the things about the Old Testament is, incomplete is maybe not the right word, but it's not the whole story. That's one of the important things. It doesn't tell us everything. These books, the stories, the directions, all of these things point us in a particular way. They point us to asking questions like, well, what are we going to do about the sin problem in our lives? And how are we going to find the answers? But the Old Testament doesn't give us all the answers. It presents us with the question so we know there's an uneasiness in our lives that needs to be answered. And we find that in the New Testament. Now, that's not to say the Old Testament is unimportant, but it's not all of what God wants to say to us. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in former days, God spoke to us through prophets. Now he's spoken to us through his Son. These last books, some of you might know these books. There's some of the primary school children I think will have heard of. Is he Milo Armadillo or Milo Armadillo? I don't know. But that's a quite a popular book in Marilyn's school. But Jan Fernley wrote that book, and Jan Fernley scribbled in ours because we like to go to a thing over in Scotland where you get the chance to meet some of these people. The Lonely Beast, Chris Judge, we had a bit of a chat with him one day when he'd written that book. And then we've got Oliver Jeffers, The Huey's New Jumper, which is not very long, and I'll read it all to you now. But again, these are signed by the author. And one of the great things about that is, whenever we read the Bible, it's about leading us to a relationship with the one who put the Bible in place. All of us can have that opportunity to read the Bible. Those are getting heavy, aren't they? All of us can have the chance to get to know the author. And it makes such a difference. Whenever we feel that it's a dry, old history book, and we would be tempted to dismiss the Bible, imagine that. Whenever we know who it is it's pointing us to, it makes all the difference in the world. There was a Bible study in the New Testament, where Mark's going to bring up a slide that tells us what Jesus did in the most wonderful Bible study in Luke chapter 24. And this is what it says, that Jesus took the Old Testament and he showed the two disciples who were on their way out of Jerusalem, all sad and disappointed at what had happened, showed them how it all pointed to him. In his ministry, Jesus quoted the Old Testament. Jesus obeyed the Old Testament. But the wonderful thing was that he fulfilled the Old Testament. It says there, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures about himself. So I really want to encourage you to read it, and to read it with the eyes of faith, to know what it's pointing us to. And as it said in our reading this morning from Joshua, it said this, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Let's thank these guys up at the front here. They've stood very patiently while I've talked on. Let's give them a round of applause. If you could just set the books on the bag there, guys. We're going to pray for a moment, and then I'm going to quote another Old Testament passage as I invite all the other folks up to join us. So if you're going away this summer, prime yourself to come up and join me in just a moment. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today, and specifically today we've been thinking about the Old Testament. Thank you for its witness to you. Thank you for your trustworthy, faithful dealings with humanity. May your word feed and nurture our faith, direct and guide our relationships with you and with others. And may we read and learn and digest it because we want to know you more, and so make us more like Jesus, your living word. For in his name we pray. Amen.